Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys this Tuesday. And as you notice, Wayne is not with me today. He is out of town. So shout out to Wayne. He is the best of the best. We'll get a show together soon. Offseason is always hard with traveling and family and all that other stuff. It's what it is. But, man, I got a really good show planned today. This is episode 1,660 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. We're taking a break from our countdown. And I've got a list, which I struggled with. Started with 14, narrowed it down to 12, 10. And I was like, dude, I got to get this lower. Top eight breakout candidates for the 2026 season. That's what we're going to be spending most of today's time on, which I'm pretty excited about. And again, like, could have done 14. But, you know, you get excited and you're just like, okay, let's put some criteria to this. Let's try to boil this down a little closer. And so we're going to spend time with eight of these players. We're going to get time for your questions that you have in the chat, all those different things. We even got some Rams and some Brandon Sorsby talk, which, like, right off the bat, what a weird situation. I mean, I'm a big college football guy. Don't like Texas Tech at all. That's okay. Can't get your grades up, get your guns up. But the fact that he is now going in the supplemental draft and big time player, he's a damn good quarterback. The off the field gambling stuff, obviously that's an issue. But I'm thankful, man, I'm so thankful that the Rams got Ty Simpson and not Brandon Sorsby. I would have been a little perturbed if the Rams spent a second, 2027 second on Sorsby as opposed to a top 15 pick on Ty Simpson. So, like, I'm just, whenever I saw the Sorsby news, I was like, wow, this is crazy. I'm excited because, one, it hurts Texas Tech. I like that. But, two, the Rams, I don't think that there's any way they would spend, you know, more on them. But I could totally see them go with Brandon Sorsby in the supplemental draft. And they didn't get Ty Simpson. And I'm just like, whew, yeah. Very, very thankful. Very, very thankful the Rams didn't get him. I think he's going to wind up at Pittsburgh. I think it's best fit for him. But we'll see how the process goes. And the hurdles that need to be climbed with the Sorsby thing, you got to be okay with the gambling and all that kind of stuff and what that's going to look like in the NFL, because the NFL is way harsher than, you know, the state of Texas is on that stuff, which that's a whole nother kettle of crawdads, as they say in the South. Yeah, it's a whole other thing. But the Sorsby news, I'm pretty psyched about, to be honest with you. I think it's fun. And I like the supplemental draft, and hopefully he goes for a second or third. I doubt the Niners would put a claim in on him, but I wouldn't mind if the 49ers put a fourth-round pick in just to see. Like, he's a damn good quarterback. Like, he's fun. He's got the slide, the big game explosives, the athleticism, big arm, can throw from all over the place. Yeah, I think I would probably have a first-round grade on him based on the tape, but the off-the-field stuff, yeah, you got to be comfortable with that. Now, have to say thank you to our executive producers of our show all the time, David Gill, 49ers George, Corey Robbins. You guys are the best of the best. And all the hashtag CCs, Countdown Crew, coming in strong. What's up, Shane? Appreciate you, brother. Much love. Much love. JD, appreciate all you guys in here. What's up, Maria, Jason? Oh, yeah, Sean in the house. What's up, man? I'm not seeing the IU news. Maybe I'm crazy. Have not seen that just yet. So somebody's probably following a rumor, but I'm scrolling and again, not seeing any of that. So there's no IU news. That dude's crazy. Anyway, no news there. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I'm tagging. If you guys, I want y'all to guess. Y'all, I want y'all to guess who the eight breakout candidates are. And if you guys have one, throw it in the chat. I'll start, and we'll bring it up later. So if you can guess one of the eight, I would appreciate that. Tommy, Demo is better than Stout in the slot. Demo is better than everybody at every single defensive back position. Diamandouro Lenore is a better slot, better outside, better strong, better free. Don't care how you splice it up. All five defensive backs, Diamandouro Lenore can play all five. I do agree with you. He is better than Stout, and I freaking love Stout, man. But the 49ers value outside corner way more than slot corner. And, yeah, I think it was a weird move kicking him out of the slot whenever you finally had a good nickel corner. And, you know, he was rotating in and out, and Kyle Shanahan said, we want him in the same spot. We're just going to kick him outside. And it was funny because last year, I remember at training camp, I was like, this guy has not taken one snap from the nickel corner spot. Not one. And people were like, well, you can move him around and all this. And I was like, dude, they have not moved him around once. That dude is on the defensive left side, and he is parked. So don't expect that to change. Don't expect that to change because it's not. Joe, what's up, man? I live in Portland. Vacation in Minneapolis. You sound great in both places, man. What's up? Hopefully you had a great vacation, Joe. Always good to see you in here. What's up, Dave? Appreciate you guys. Will Jair Brown finally break out? He is not, spoiler alert, one of our eight. It would be awesome. Somebody's got to step up in that safety spot. Somebody has to. Somebody's got to. And kind of my criteria for breakout candidates, we narrowed it down to eight. No Pro Bowl type players, which Malik Mustafa is not on the list either, even though, you know, he's never made the Pro Bowl. But like, I feel like you saw glimpses consistently of how good he was his rookie year. Tommy, you crazy, bro. Yeah, Maria. Yeah, I was ready to hear it. Screws the Texas. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm happy about the Sorsby news. I love it. I love it. Understand who you are, Tech. Understand who you are. Now, Joey McGuire is awesome. You know, he was at Cedar Hill whenever I was at Duncanville. So, you know, we had some run-ins. I'm a big fan of him. He's awesome. Like the coach. Don't like the school. Don't like the culture. Stay away from that one. Staying away from that one. But yeah, what's up, Law? Appreciate you guys. Hashtag CCs. I love it. I love it. Oh, no, Dave, the Wi-Fi. It's going to be coming in strong. You'll get there. And man, let's start right here with the Law of Awe. He says Stout and Siegel are the best of the 25 class, in my opinion. You went two for two. Shout out to the Law of Awe. Freaking awesome name. And Kimbrough right here. Upton Stout, number one breakout. I cannot. How do I say this? I don't think it's possible for me to be more in on Upton Stout. He's number 16 on our countdown list that we're doing. And you just see what he was able to do last year. 82 combined tackles, 4 tackle for losses, 1 sack, 1 forced fumble, 5 pass breakups. The dude was just everywhere. And yeah, he's tiny. He's 5'8", 180. Not a big dude. Doesn't mean he misses time in the weight room, though. Because this dude is jacked. Have you seen the pictures that they're putting out of his workouts and all that kind of stuff? I mean, it's just crazy. He played 665 snaps last year, which I like that. I want more. And you're going to hear me say this time and time and time again. I'm ready for the 49ers to absolve the big nickel, or at least allow the big nickel role to be even smaller sub package against 13 personnel only. Maybe even then. But I'm to the point where I'm just like, look, let's put Upton Stout in a full-time nickel position where we just keep him out there. I'm almost to the point where I'd prefer Upton Stout in a 4-3 setting as well. Like, I understand you need a Sam Backer, and I know Raheem Morris uses that much more than other teams and whatever. You got to get Upton Stout more snaps. The dude played 16 snaps in the playoff loss for Seattle. Like, that is a crime. That's a crime. You cannot be okay with that. You just can't. He's just so freaking good, man. You look at just like how will Raheem Morris use him. He's had a lot of corners similar to the build of Upton Stout, this versatile kind of can blitz. He had a 72.2 pass rush grade. I want to see him go out there and just dominate. And it's not to say that Upton Stout was perfect, because he wasn't. A lot of issues early on. Head was on a swivel, guessing wrong. But as the season went on, the play just increased. And a lot of people have criticized the 49ers' drafting efforts in the past several years, rightfully so, because there's no home runs. I think there's been a lot of singles and doubles. I'm willing to say Upton Stout could be a home run. It is not outside of the realm of possibility for Upton Stout to be the best nickel corner in the NFL. I'm not saying that's the trajectory, but if we fast forward to the end of the rookie contract, and hope's a dangerous thing, okay? Like, I get it. Hope's a dangerous thing. Make a man go insane. Like, but the glimpses are there. The glimpses for Upton Stout being an absolute freak show are there. Now, everybody gives the safeties passes for the horrible pass rush. Not everybody. I don't. What if you get an improved pass rush? And Upton Stout's play increases. Come on, man. It is there. Oh, speaking of there, what's up? The Striking Gold Podcast with the hat tip. What's up, Rob Louder? You're the man. Where was Upton on your list last year? Last year, I had Upton Stout 20. We had Upton Stout 23 on the 2025 roster countdown. This year, he's 16. Having said that, the roster countdown this year was a lot harder. There's way more talent on the 49ers 2026 roster than 2025. So, yeah, like, you're like, all right, dude jumped up seven spots. Not that big of a deal. The fact that he jumped up seven spots and, you know, again, I'll just scroll. Like, I've got him ahead of some really, really good names. Kyle Juszczyk, I've got him above. You know, the starting center, I've got him above. There's a lot of quality players that's just like, really, we're going to put them up above those guys? Yes. Yes, I am. Great question, Debs. Appreciate you guys. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs, feel more confident about setting boundaries, create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. It's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. Right here, Maria, you can see the humility in Stout, the kind of player that is hungry to get better. My favorite thing about Stout, and you know, I'll go back to Wayne's not on the show. Wayne and Johnny Dell, they were the two that were pushing Stout really, really hard before the draft last year. They loved everything, and I was a little bit lower on him because he was so small, and I was like, man, I don't know. But golly, you watch somebody play, and just the love of football oozes out of their aura, right? That is what Upton Stout brings to the table. It's pure passion and energy. And whenever you meet that with the reckless abandon in a positive sense that he plays with, it's just like, whew. Like, you could go to a game and just watch Upton Stout play. Just keep your eyes on him. Like, don't worry about anything else. Just watch number 20. You're going to get the price of admission. He's that fun of a player. Can he hit, you know, his trajectory? I'm just saying, possibly the best nickel corner in the NFL when it's all, like, he could get to that point. Really, really good. Back to Maria's comment. You know, the player that is hungry to get better, keeps his head down, grinds, but has all the confidence of, you know, I got this, which is so important. Whenever you're a defensive back. Oh, Shades Shark 2.0, baby. K'Wan Williams. I love K'Wan. I love K'Wan. Yeah, well said. This secondary is loaded with potential. It really, really is. And Weber says, you know, he's not a home run, Upton Stout. He's a grand slam. Could be. Could be. The last home run the 49ers had was Brock Purdy, perhaps the greatest pick in any draft the past 10 years. Pick 262 to get your franchise quarterback. That's crazy talk. But since that in 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025, now 2026 pending, you got to have a home run. You can rest on, you know, George Kittle, Fred Warner, like awesome, awesome, awesome. Brock Purdy, what have you done for me lately? NFL stands for not for long. You've got to have some type of major home run grand slam at some point. You've got to at some point. JD, get to catch you live twice in 1 week. Lucky me. Lucky me. Lucky Chapman. I'm glad to have you here, man. Oh, I'm glad somebody. Thank you, Mario. Hope is a good thing. Yeah. Hope is the thing that reminds us that there are things outside of these walls and bars, right? Man, I'm going to go watch Shawshank today. Don't have time for that, but I would like to. Yeah, the starting center. It's what it is. What's up, Noam? Appreciate you, man. Finally live while I'm awake. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat. Thank you for your friendship, man. Appreciate you, buddy. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Antonio, what's up, JC? Great conversation today. Oh, we got Steven in the chat, right? I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Let's bounce over to the other side. Shout out Red Hot Chili Peppers. Let's go with Connor Colby. Number 37 on our countdown list. He was number 50 last year. Jumps up to number 37. Now, you dive into the early analytics of Connor Colby, in the early film of Connor Colby, you get frustrated really, really quick. He started six games, started week one, rookie starter, seventh round pick, struggled mightily. You cannot put it any other way. Gave up multiple sacks, six quarterback hits, 11 hurries. Got pulled several times, put back in because of the injuries. And like, what was it really even, you know, one of the spots where it was just like, okay, yeah, this guy, he's nailing down his spot. He's going to be incredible, blah, 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 blah. That never happened. But he got his six starts in. He took his lumps, goes back to the bench, lost his job to Burford, learned, got in some trash time snaps. You go back and watch his trash time snaps, Connor Colby, And it's like, okay, somebody turned on the damn light. It's on now. 49ers go out and pay for Robert Jones. They draft Carver Willis. They bring in Brett Toth. All right, now we're into training camp. And they start interviewing coaches. What's Chris Forster say? Connor Colby's looking pretty damn good. Looking pretty good. Brett Toth's been injured. Carver Willis, I think that's just way too much of an upstream move to go from always playing tackle to guard and questionable pass pro anchor ability. Not saying he can't do it, but I think Carver Willis is the long-term center. I really, really do. I think that's where he projects. Oh, man. Yeah, Mario always already frustrated with Connor. He's the Ricky P. But, like, he hasn't been really injured. He had no injuries. He's just a seventh rounder that was forced to start week one. He wasn't injured. He got pulled twice. And then, you know, Ben Bartsch, he got injured. Then you went with Burford, kicked him from tackle to guard. But I'm telling you, man, Connor Colby, my odd, like, Robert Jones, probably. I'd prefer Connor Colby to win that job. I would prefer Connor Colby to win that job. Then you've got Connor Colby, Dominique Pouniet, your guards for the next several years. Young guys. Ooh, man, I'm just telling you, it's there. And Maria, she says she is cautiously optimistic about Colby. That's probably the way to live life all the time. Cautiously optimistic. I like that. Maybe that'd be a good name for a podcast, right? The 49ers, cautiously optimistic. I think he'd have a big jump this year. He got thrown into the fire, clearly not ready, but at least now he knows what it is. You got to come back stronger, all that. Like, I'm just saying the depth at that guard spot, it's a battle. Robert Jones, Connor Colby, Carver Willis, Brett Toth, not practicing yet. That's a four-headed beast. But I'm telling you right now, Connor Colby, that guy, he's going to be starting games at left guard this year. Yeah, Ben Bartsch is the Ricky P. Yeah, he's gone. It's what it is. Yeah, I like that. Kimbrough, what's up, man? I like this. If anyone is a veteran, you need to be using Vet Ticks. They give away free tickets to all kinds of events. I saw Niners tickets from the Carolina preseason game on there yesterday. Dude, I love that. That is what's up. I've had multiple stepdads who were vets and see firsthand the sacrifice and the stuff that they have to go through afterwards. Yeah, I appreciate anybody that serves. You guys are awesome. I love that, man. That's what's up. All right. So I'm a big Connor Colby guy. I really do think that he has a shot at winning that job. Now, and again, these are breakout candidates, and I'm being hopeful. I would prefer Connor Colby to beat Robert Jones. Robert Jones with the neck issue and all that stuff. I think you're going to get more consistent play with Robert Jones, but the ceiling and long-term capability of Connor Colby is very attractive. Very attractive. And Chris Forster, like, if he could do anything, it's taking guys like this and making them adequate starters. I'm not saying Connor Colby's going to be a Pro Bowler. I'm not saying Connor Colby's going to be as good as Dominique Pouniet. That's not what I'm saying at all. But if you can get quality play at the left guard spot from a seventh round, second year player like Connor Colby, it gives you a lot of financial solvency because you're saving money at both guard spots now for years. And I think that that's a big deal. I really, really do. All right. Next up, we're going with our very first rookie of the list. And I want to spend some time here. We're going Romello Hight, third round pick. He comes in number 22 on the countdown list as a rookie. I mean, there is no competition for, and I don't think a lot of teams have multiple pass rush specialists only, but that's what he's going to be. Oh, look at this. Yeah, Farscape. VetTix is legit. GOVX isn't bad either. Haven't heard of that one. I'm not a veteran. But, man, I love that. I'll leave that up there. Romello Hight being a third-round pick is quite interesting. And want to say shout-out to Brad Graham, you know, SF Niners, freaking stud, legend. He put out a tweet saying he could see Romello Hight having an 8-plus rookie 8-plus sack season his rookie year. And so I was like, huh. You know, we have breakdowns up on Romello Height on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. That's the way to support us. If you like what we're doing, that's how I feed the family. Offseason get a little tighter out here. If you thought about joining, we got a 7-day free trial. Go sign up. See what's up. Romello, so I started digging, right? And I was like, all right, cool. Let's see how often do rookie third-round picks get 8 sacks. Let's just see how many times it's happened. So I go through the 2025 draft class. No. 2024 draft class. No. 2023 draft class. And I'm like, no. 2022 draft class. Ooh, there we go. Finally found not one, but two. And the two players that had 8-plus sacks from third round and out were Bryan Young and Kobe Turner. So I'm like, huh, with the Rams, who would have guessed? Anybody want to guess who their defensive coordinator was? You guessed it. Raheem Morris. The only two guys in the past four drafts that have been picked in the third round or later and have had 8 or more sacks their rookie year. It's only happened twice in 4 drafts. Not likely. Guys, Raheem Morris coached. So then I was like, you know what? Let's just go back and let's look at last year, regardless of draft position. Only one player in the entire draft last year, 2025, was a weak defensive line draft for sure. James Pierce Jr. was the only one to eclipse 8 sacks. He was drafted in the first round. Anybody want to guess who his defensive coordinator was? You guessed it. Raheem Morris. So whether you're looking at third round picks, later rookie, 8-year sack, whatever, Raheem Morris is the only one to do it. Or you're just looking at 8-plus sacks at all last year for a rookie, Raheem Morris is the only one to coach it. To say that Romello Height has fallen into a perfect pairing is an understatement. He is where he belongs. There's no doubt about that. Kimbrough, thanks for the super chat, man. He says, I am in on Height. I think it's exactly what the 49ers need. Man, you've got so many of those Buck-style defensive ends. Mikael Williams, Keon White. Like, you've got Sam O. You've got those guys. Nick Bosa's a do-it-all, do-everything guy. You don't have, you know, the sriracha. Yeah, you don't have the little extra juice, the specialty sauce that changes everything. If this was a Texas-based podcast, the spicy Whataburger ketchup. I order my ketchup from Whataburger in the state of Texas. My name's John. I have a problem. But, like, that's what Romello Height is. He is a guy that could be that. And, you know, Matt Barrows put out some stuff this week. Shout out to Matt Barrows, friend of the show. You could talk about Romello Height because he's old. He's 25. You could talk about Romello Height because he's really only had one major year of production. Whenever you're looking at just, you know, his sack totals, 3 years with no sacks at all, right? And, you know, he was just kind of a reserve guy at Auburn and at USC. 2023, he has 4 sacks. 2024, he goes to Georgia Tech, 2.5 sacks, not much. Then last year at Tech, 9.5 sacks. And so you'd be like, Romello Height really hasn't done anything elite unless he's surrounded by elite players at Tech. I mean, shoot, you had the number 2 overall pick on his team. You had Lee Hunter. Everybody on that defensive line got drafted. But then you're like, hold on, pump the brakes. What is he stepping into with the 49ers? It's exactly that. It is exactly that. It is as close to a situation that he was in at Tech where he had pure success. Now, he was an every down guy there. He's not going to be that for the 49ers. Maria, Height looks legit to me. I think Raheem is going to bring the creativity to the defense. Niners haven't had that in a long time. Going to maximize some of the potential of these guys. Siegel, Romello, all those guys. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, I got to take a quick coffee break. But if you're going to any 49ers game this year, come check us out, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Oh, I love it. I love it. Appreciate all of the comments and questions. I missed a couple here. When we're talking about Romello Height, I don't want to jump forward there. yeah, I'm not getting into politics here, but I'm definitely not that, whatever anybody is saying on there. God, no. I appreciate you guys. Nobody was trying to start whatever, but, you know, anyway, I'm not touching that one. Let's see here. Yes. Oh, Maria. Whataburger spicy ketchup all the way. I feel bad for the Californians that don't know about Whataburger. It is amazing. It serves a purpose. Let me just say that. That is the place, a 24-hour burger joint. Yeah, it's a disaster, but it's wonderful. Geronimo holding it down over on Twitch. Appreciate you, man. Romello was surrounded by talent at Texas Tech. I kind of wish we would have gotten Yakis. Yeah, Gabe Yakis is a stud whose production just improved consistently throughout his career. You know, they serve two different purposes. Now, you know, I could go back to my draft write-up of Gabe Yakis. He's awesome. Like, I really, really liked him. He's more of a wrecking ball type guy. Sorry, my throat's on the fritz here. The bend of Romello is kind of what's different. That is what separates them. The Niners don't have that. The Niners have something a little close to Gabe Yakis, maybe not, but Keon White is similar to that. And this just don't know what to do with his body, big freak athlete, defensive tackle, and whatever. But yeah, I mean, I would have loved to added him as well. But the Niners, they really liked him. And you know, you go back to Kosarik, he's a tech guy, so that's what that is. You do with that what you will. Let's jump to the offensive side. Los Gatos, Jake Tonjes makes this breakout list. I'm just a huge Jake Tonjes guy. Now, I completely understand. He's not a Pro Bowl caliber or whatever. I understand that. But he serves a role. And his role is George Kittle wide receiver, or, you know, tight end receiving production, not near as good as him. Nobody is, whenever he's injured. And, you know, you go back to that Chicago game, which might have been the game of the year in the NFL. I mean, that game was incredible. 42-38, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Dude had 7 catches on 9 targets for 60 yards and a touchdown. Incredible. You go to the Rams overtime win. 7 catches, 41 yards, and a touchdown. You go to the 49ers win week 1 against Seattle. You know, stat line's not great. 3 catches, 15 yards. You don't win that game without Jake Tonjes snatching the ball away from the cornerback and over, like, at the end of the game. Like, walk-off touchdown win. So you're talking about 3 of the biggest wins of the 49ers season. And I understand Mac Jones deserves all the credit in the world. I hope I'm not like, I get, everybody always says, players included, coaches included, we don't make the playoffs without Mac Jones. And I think you're right. But what happens if the 49ers don't win those 3 games? I'm struggling. I've been feeling great. Sometimes whenever you hit record and you go into like podcaster voice, your body's just like, hey, calm down there, Buck. But like you look at the 49ers and what they were able to accomplish last year, going 12-5. Man, those three games are arguably three of the biggest wins, two division. And then, you know, that Chicago game kept them in pace for that number one seed. They didn't get it eventually, but still. Dude shows up at big time moments. And you look at just what Jake Tonjes just continues to do. He's going to be asked to do it again. George Kittle might be ready before anybody else thinks. It's possible. But 32-year-old on an Achilles, which happened in January, little reserved, flying to Australia. Yeah, that's rough. Logan, Tonjes over Farrell. Honestly, everyone over Farrell. They play two different positions. I understand they're both tight ends, but the Niners have two different tight end positions. They have your blocking tight end and your do-it-all tight end. Tonjes plays the do-it-all role. Farrell plays the blocking tight end role, the Charlie Warner role. And anytime you've asked Farrell to step up and do more than that, he is the worst player in the NFL. The few good games that Farrell had, and he did have a couple good games. He did have some good plays. They were all when Kittle's next to him. He cannot rise above his stature when Kittle is out. And every game that Luke Farrell had with Jake Tonjes, because they do so many two tight end sets, Luke Farrell was dog trash. He was so bad. Now, the 49ers go out, and, you know, they could have just tendered him, Jake Tonjes, but instead they signed him to a two-year contract worth $8 million. Yeah, we're talking about a $4 million a year player, but they like this guy. And I really wish Kyle Shanahan would find a way to put Jake Tonjes and George Kittle on the field at the same time. I really do. Because Brock Purdy trusts Jake Tonjes, period. That's all there is to it. He trusts this dude. Kyle Shanahan, that's probably the difference where maybe he doesn't trust him as much as some of the other guys. But Jake Tonjes has a 73.9 catch percentage. That's awesome. I mean, way better than Kendrick Bourne, Ricky Pearsall, DeMarcus Robinson, Juwan Jennings. Now, tight ends usually are pretty high, but like 73.9 catch percentage is pretty damn good. When you throw the ball to him, good things happen. That's just the reality. And in big game moments, Los Gatos shows up, man. Dude's just a stud. So, anyway, yeah. You kind of deal with that what you want. Sir Kaiser got into an argument with a random person about the World Cup who thought Kittle and CMC are finished in their careers, your take. Yeah, I don't think that that's the case. If like, I go back to this all the time. How do you win, okay? Christian McCaffrey's explosiveness and speed have gone down. There's no doubt about that. Kittle, I don't think we can say that yet. He's still running away from crazy people. But neither one Kittle nor Christian McCaffrey have ever won with speed. That hasn't even been their top three trait. It's not. Christian McCaffrey wins with vision, intelligence, preparation. Kittle wins with attitude, aggressiveness, and just, dude, just whatever is needed. You see tight ends like Zach Ertz still playing way, you know, into whatever. And so, like, running back position is a little bit harder to find, but Christian McCaffrey's not just running back. I think both of them can continue to be effective. Will they ever have the years that they've had recently? Okay, that's a different one. But finished? No. Because Christian McCaffrey just does so much. The routes that he runs, the understanding, the vision, the efficiency that he is there, that's going to go for a few more years, at least. Now, major injuries, that's always in question. And with Christian McCaffrey coming off a heavy workload year, the two times he's got the ball as many times as he did last year, he got injured within four games, both times. Can that change? I don't know. I don't know. Logan, Chapman, I know I'm still crying over here. No, we could have had Harold Fanning. Yeah, Harold Fanning, just amazing. I love that dude, and he's a stud. He's a stud. He's going to be the best tight end in the NFL for like a decade. Jax, what's up, man? Appreciate you. You are awesome. You are awesome. Yeah, right here. The toe drag in the end zone against the Colts. That wasn't called a touchdown, which was. I love watching Tonjes play. He's so fun, man. That Colts game was incredible. Shane, I love Tonjes. Yeah, who doesn't, man? That was a rob from him for sure, for sure. I like that. Los Gatos, 26 years old. I love it. I love it. I love it. Shane, John, why don't you think Shanahan trusts Tonjes? His blocking's subpar. He's not a good blocker. Like, just period. And, you know, you just watch. He tries to. They've tried him at the fullback role. They've tried it. Like, he's just not a good blocker. He's improving. He's just not a good blocker. And so Shanahan uses him as a break glass in case of emergency, but understanding, like, dude, we get this guy out there, good things happen. Good things happen. Period. Keep him out there. Like, find a way. Yeah, a local kid. He is awesome, and I'll never understand as well. Dude, just imagine having George Kittle. Like, last year when you had no receiving options at all, wide receiver room, maybe one of the worst in the NFL last year, all the injuries, whatever else, and Tonjes just sitting on the sideline. It's just like, come on, man. Come on. Yeah, one word to describe George Kittle is grit. Dude is pure grit. Guys that don't win with speed can play long in the NFL. Neither one of those guys. Now, they did have speed, and they do have speed and whatever else, but oh, man. Right here, Grand A of the house. What's up? Tonjes and Kittle together on the field would be great, just like CMC and Mason. Will Kyle do it, though? You guys try to get me in my feels. Maybe Tonjes will improve blocking at tight end. There we go. That's the way to see it. All right, we're going to stick to the wide receiver position, and this is one I don't really want to spend a lot of time on. Ricky Pearsall made this list. Mainly because he hasn't, I understand on like a per-game basis, you could point at and say like how great Ricky Pearsall is. And yeah, it's a match and whatever else. Dude's never gone over 530 yards in a season. Dude's a first-round pick. Now, the injuries are huge, but he's playing 20 games. Hasn't finished a lot of those games. The eye test, Ricky Pearsall passes for us. Can the consistency show up? Can the consistency show up at any point? I don't know. I'm curious, what is everybody's confidence level in Ricky Pearsall heading into this year? 1 to 10. 10, dude's going to have a Pro Bowl season, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. You know, 5, it's going to be more of the same. We're going to get 4 to 500 yards. He's going to miss a lot of time. Or a 1. It's kind of like over for him, which I don't think anybody's there. But I'm curious. Throw in the chat. Where is your confidence level on Ricky Pearsall heading into this season? Ooh, look at this. Don't bother me, Steve. What's up? Gives him a 7. Yeah, Shane says 7.5. We got a 4. Big Toad. Sell me your stock. I'll take it all. Yeah, I love this, and we wanted to, I was working with a company that had this idea for a while where like you could buy and sell stock on players, which I love the idea, the functionality and like how that would work out. Never got like ironed out, but man, I was just like, yeah, I love this concept, Toad. Like, yeah, let's buy, sell stock on players. Yeah, and Toad says he'll take it all. I love it. Maybe Toad's the biggest Ricky Pearsall guy out there. We got a 5. If he can stay healthy, he'll be a Pro Bowler. It's just, that's a big if. 8, 5. My confidence is rickety. That's a pretty good comment. I think it's one extreme or the other. Potential? What's potential mean? Ain't done it yet. That's all it means. 7.5, 7. The play will be great, but Evans will eat into the stats. I think 6, 6.5. I trade Ricky to Buffalo for Knox. Ooh. Dawson Knox. That's a little bit rookie. On a rookie contract, wide receiver. But hey, I like the thinking. I probably wouldn't do that. But yeah, nobody above a 7.5 was the highest. Nobody below a 4, I think, was the lowest. And so, you know, 4 probably gets you his rookie year, 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. 7 probably gets you 700 yards. And I mean, shoot, this guy's only scored 3 touchdowns in his entire career. He's got to do something at some point in the red zone. You just got to. Maria, I was an 8 until the last day of OTAs. He was practicing on side field. It might as well just name that field Ricky Pearsall. I remember being at the first rookie training camp, and I was like, dude, where the hell is number 14? He's nowhere to be found. Ever. Just wasn't there. Practiced less than Isaac Grindo. Nah, maybe Isaac Grindo was less. I don't remember. I got to go through my notebook. But, like, then last year, yeah, they basically just kept him on ice. Still got injured a bunch of times. But, man, he looks good. He looks good. What's up, Sin? Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Matthew, Ricky ain't making it past week 3. Ah, yeah, 14 in the no contact jersey. Come on, man. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Jordan, my man, every day we get closer to NFL football, it's a beautiful thing. 12 more Sundays. Uh-oh. Who's counting? I got to speed up those countdown shows. Prove us wrong, Ricky. Prove us wrong. Yeah, I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong. I just do. I just do. All right, let's go. Next up on our list, I clicked the wrong thing on the show. There we go. You knew he was going to be on there. That's right. Thomas nailed it. My answer starts and ends with Big Al Collins. Alfred Collins. I freaking love Alfred Collins. I really, really do. He's on my breakout list. Look at this. Tommy says CJ West greater than Alfred Collins. No, I think they're close. I really, really do. I have no qualms saying that CJ West was playing at a higher level than Alfred Collins last year. No doubt about it. The difference for me, not that I'm against either one of them, is that Alfred Collins' ceiling, because of his body type, arm length, size, all those things, is just astronomically higher. That's why he went 2 rounds before him, even though they played the same position. Like, that is the difference. Can he get there? Yeah, I have no problem saying CJ West finished the year at a higher level than Alfred Collins. I do have issue just with the ceiling being there. That's where it is. Farscape, breakout prediction, Alfred Collins will be a Pro Bowler this year. Like, and I remember saying this nonstop. Big-time moments, big-time games, Alfred Collins shows up huge. Again, you go back to that Rams overtime win. You don't win that. Maybe top 5 play of the year for the 49ers. Maybe the best play of the year for the 49ers. I want to be honest with you. That fumble of Kyren Williams on the goal line and recovery. Like, dude, that was crazy big play. That changed. The Rams would have had home field advantage if not for that one single play. Changed NFL seasons for multiple franchises. The entire NFC West. The dude just, oh, so freaking good, man. Can he get consistent? Can Alfred Collins get to the point where he doesn't lose early? That's my problem with the tape, and he did this at Texas, but he's such a freak the way he's built, 6'6", 332, just built like a freaking behemoth. But, man, you look at him, you know, 1 tackle for loss, 4 quarterback hits, 1 sack, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, led the 49ers in fumble recoveries with 2. Like, he shows up. He shows up. Can he get consistent? That's the question. Can he get consistent? Maria, AC needs to win early. Yes. Collins' right hook punch out against the Rams was the highlight. See, I think it's up. It's probably number one. It's probably number one. Tommy, appreciate you, man, as always. Geronimo, I hope they put CJ West and Kamara back together. Yeah, that'd be fun. Logan, not going to lie, I think CJ West might have a better upcoming season due to his potential pass rush ability. Dude, it's great to have both of them, right? It's not one or the other. It's both. And that is huge. That is just absolutely huge. Cracked him straight with the George Foreman. George Foreman would have been proud of. That's right, Thomas. Appreciate you, man. I love that comment. That is awesome. Yeah, right here, Geronimo. I like when Larry interviewed CJ West and asked him what one player he'd like to play with, and he said Kamara. Hope he gets to. Yeah, Kamara's a fun player. Yeah, I was really, really high on him. That's a guy. Ugh. It's going to be tough sledding. It's going to be tough sled to make the roster for him. That defensive, but with the injuries there, Mykael Williams might start the year off on PUP. That gives room for Kamara to slide in. That's huge. That's huge. Osa should allow both of the youngsters to flourish. That's right, man. Shane, DT room, a little crowded for big stats maybe with the rotation, and that's what they want. They spent the most draft picks on the defensive tackle room. You traded a third rounder this year for Osa. You spent the most money in priority free agents on the defensive tackle room. Like, it is young and explosive. Can the consistency come through in that room? That's where we got to see it. That's where we got to see it. All right, let's get to the defensive side. We're going to stay over there. Let's go to the back end. You know I was going to talk about this guy. Marquis Siegel. It might not even win the job, but I think Marquis Siegel can make this list one of two ways. Dude's an elite special teams player already. Like, Brant Boyer swears by this kid. And so Marquis Siegel might just be the next elite special teamer, but I think there's some upside there. I think that now you bring in Ashton Davis, that puts a little damper on the situation. Yeah, Jair Brown's there and they like him and whatever else and whatever else. But man, I there's just something about a safety, 5'11", 199, the best tackler on the team. I believe that. Appeared in 11 games and golly, just right where he needs to be all the freaking time. Just got to start making plays. Just got to make plays. Just got to make plays. Logan, I really want Siegel to win that starting job. He's our best tackler already. Like, it's now he's way down the list. Like, and I get it. But golly, can he beat out Ashton Davis, the vet? Can he beat out Jair Brown, you know, the splash player? He's making the roster because he's just too good at special teams, and he's going to get a chance at safety at some point. I mean, shoot, yeah, Matt Barrell's put out there, like, dude, wouldn't be shocked if Marquis Siegel and Ashton Davis are the starting safeties. That's crazy. A little crazy, but I like crazy. I like crazy. Maria, yeah, Siegel is a killer, loves to hit, and is fast. Just needs someone like Raheem to hone those skills. Jerry Gray. Coaching matters. Coaching matters. Shade, look at this. The freaking legend. Appreciate you, man. Got to bounce early. Great freaking show today. Thank you, man, for the kind words. You are the man. You are the man. But yeah, I really, really love Marquis Siegel. I was so big on that dude at K-State. Some guys just have the Niner concept to them. He is exactly what it means to be a 49er. Ah, I just saw terrible news. The Saints have brought back Cam Jordan. I know it's never going to happen, but a girl can dream, can't she? Man, way to go, Cam Jordan. I freaking love it. My favorite non-49er player. I just had a little bit of hope, just a little bit of hope that the 49ers would go get him, but it went in the cards, and it's not really a great fit. But Cam Jordan, I was going to buy that jersey day one. Ah, man, good for him. Good for him. Anyway, all right. Last player, Deshaun Stribling. Yeah, I got to put the rookie up here. I don't even know what this will look like. And again, this was a rush crush guy. We named 13 players that I just love regardless of draft position. I had a high third on him. 49ers got him early second. The reach crowd, the consensus mock crowd, whatever else. Get it. I just love Deshaun Stribling. He fits everything that is the 49ers. I think that this impact will be bigger later in the year than early in the year. I think he can play the big slot role. I think X is where he will be eventually. The fact that he gets to play behind Mike Evans might not be the biggest statistical whatever. But the fact that Deshaun Stroud, man, he just looks the part, dude. Him in that number 15, like, you know, the 49ers media put out, you know, pictures of him, they do the media, whatever. Dude just looks the way you're supposed to look in that uniform at that position. He embodies everything that there is. Again, maybe that's another thing about this list. Like, guys that just embody what it means to be a 49er. Deshaun Stribling has that in spades. In spades. It's such a, I haven't even thought about this, departure from Debo and, you know, Jawan and Ayuk and whatever else. Not those guys. He's not loud. It's not what he is. He is calm, cool, collected. You watch interviews of him. He is calculated. He is chill. Doesn't get too high. Doesn't get too low. Chill. He's not a talker, which for the wide receiver position, a little bit different. I love DeShon Stribling. I really, really do. I loved him before the 49ers drafted him. Where they drafted him, all right, cool, whatever. But golly, man, I am just so pumped. Just to see, yeah, Stribling's a great blocker, loves to do it. That's key. How do you keep him off the field? How do you keep him off the field? Oh, yeah, he's going to be a great Ayuk replacement along with Evans. This will be Purdy's best wide receiver room yet. I think so too. Yeah, I love that. And the long term play, like DeShon Stribling is going to be a slow burn. You're not going to start over Mike Evans. He shouldn't. But to learn the exposition from Mike Evans as opposed to Brandon Ayuk, yeah, I'll take that in spades, man. Right here, Logan, in the future, you could do worse than Ricky Pearsall, Stribling, Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing as a wide receiver core, assuming they all stay healthy. It's not a bad group. Not a bad group at all. What's up, Applesauce? Glad you're here, man. I wish you didn't have to wear number 15 because it reminds me of Crabtree. Yeah, I'm not a Crabtree guy. I've talked about this many times. I met him in person. I didn't like him when he held out being the 10th pick. I've never been a Crabtree guy at all. And for those of you that do like Crabtree, man, I ain't trying to ruin that. I don't want to take that away. Wherever your memories and good times and whatever and nostalgia come from, you're a Crabtree guy or girl, salute to you. Stick to number 15. But yeah, I do this one of two ways. I'd love to see the number 15 jersey and not do the Clint Eastwood and Gran Torino and just be like, mean old man, get off my lawn. Like, that's how it makes you feel. And I saw the media, you know, cuts of DeShon Stribling. I'm like, ooh, like that was my first response. Like, I would love to see number 15 and be like, yeah, let's go. You know, Mac Jones doing the same thing for number 10 for me. Ain't going to lie. Whoever picked number 10 in the past, I was just like, why would you do that? Why? Don't do that. Just don't do that. We don't want to see that. Mac Jones. All right. Who? Mac Jones. sorry, I'm a Texas guy. I can't help it. Some people are like, what's he doing right there? Anyway, it's a different day. So that's our eight. Connor Colby, Romello Hype, Marquise Siegel, Jake Tonjes, Ricky Pearsall, Alfred Collins, Upton Stout, Sean Stribling. And all of this, again, is a testament to this roster. It's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. Monty Teo was on NFL Network talking about how the 49ers have the most Hall of Famers on their roster. Rightfully so. They do. But then you add in there these youngsters. All these guys are young. Nobody. Jake Tonjes is 26. I think he's the oldest person on this list. I didn't even think about that. Usually breakout candidates are guys that haven't done it before. But, like, that's eight guys. I could have put 14 on here. The 49ers roster this season is solid. It is so much better than anything that they have had in the past several years. Oh, yeah. Logan, dude, spit in my face. I don't know if you're talking about me or Michael Crabtree. But, yeah, Michael Crabtree, he'll do that. He's not a nice guy off the field anyway. Maybe for other people, they have great stories of him. And if that's the case, man, awesome. Dude, this has just been a Texas Tech sucks episode, but Texas Tech sucks, so that's what it is. Okay, good. I'm glad somebody put in here something positive. Thomas, thank you. Love me some Crabtree. That shot he took in the Super Bowl, it stayed on his feet and scored was awesome. He's tough as hell. There ain't no doubt about that. He is tough as hell. Yes, well said. Big Toad, thank you so much for the super chat, man. Will this be our youngest defensive tackle group ever? Possibly Osa, really the only vet. Bryson Eason looks like the run D version of Halton. Talented undrafted lineman is excited. Dude, you look at this room. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Does it have their age on here? I'm pulling up the defense. It does not have their ages on here. Osa, 28. Alfred Collins, second year. Grayson Halton, rookie. CJ West, second year. James Thompson Jr., rookie. Bryson Eason, rookie. Sebastian Valdez, second year. Evan Anderson, third year. There are a lot of potential there. But whatever, the 28-year-old is 3 years older than anybody else in the room. Oh, that's awesome, man. I love it. Oh, look, one more positive. Thank you, Leon Sandcastle. I love positivity. You always got to combat negativity. I believe in that, even if I'm on the negative side. So thank you. I like Crabtree because I remember watching a game when I was a kid with my grandpa. I just remember Gramp saying, oh, he's really good. Those hands, he just plucked the ball, man. Some of the best natural pass-catching hands in the NFL. Yeah, I remember Harbaugh saying he had the best hands ever. Harbaugh always says this kind of whatever. But, like, yeah, it just mitts. Catcher mitts, man. Just plucked the ball out of the air. Like, he was a stud at that. And provided a lot of positives. You bring up the Super Bowl positive. In the back of my head, I remember Super Bowl negative Michael Crabtree, but that's just me. And look at this Big Brook Brick coming in to close us out. Hashtag CC, better late than never. Well said. Appreciate everybody. You guys are the best of the best. Means a lot that you guys were here for this. Chabot's struggling over here, but we're doing great. Offseason is just hard sometimes, and I understand the numbers are down. It's just what it is every single year. Moving and stuff like that. So, like, give us some patience just because the show frequency is going to have to dip down a little bit just because we're packing and starting all that process. And, it's kicking our butt. We're staying in the area, but we got to move. We got to downsize. Want to say thank you to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George, 365 David Gill. Without them, this show does not happen. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.